Hey friends, my name is Derek Burrows, and I'm a new contributor at ICE.media. Before I get into this very important report that I want to share with you guys about vaccines and the push to take away your liberties and your freedoms related to choosing what you put in your body, I first want to say thank you to Ben Swan and everyone at ICE.media for welcoming me on board and allowing me to be a part of this project. Second, I'd like to give you guys a little bit of background. If you're new to my work and you want to hear more about who I am and where I come from, let me just share this. I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I've been a freelance investigative journalist since 2012. I've written for a number of different alternative and independent media websites, including Ben Swan's truthandmedia.com. I've produced a number of documentary films focused on child trafficking, surveillance, 5G, and a number of other issues. I also co-host a radio show in Houston called Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT. And I will be producing interviews and weekly reports for ICE.media. They're going to cover topics that are very important, especially in light of COVID and the response to COVID and vaccines and other important issues that I know you guys will care about. And these are things you're not going to hear on YouTube, and you definitely aren't going to find them in the mainstream. So please check out my work at theconsciousresistance.com and stay tuned because I'll be here every week on ICE.media. So let's get right into this. This story today that I'm bringing to you is focused on this call for paying people to get vaccinated related to COVID-19. And it's coming from the Journal of Medical Ethics from BMJ Journals. It's titled Good Reasons to Vaccinate, Mandatory or Payment for Risk. And the author essentially poses that the authorities should be paying people to convince them that they should get the COVID-19 vaccine whenever it rolls out. This is sort of in his mind a first step approach where if people don't want to take a payment or a bribe, some might interpret it to be, or if they don't want to comply voluntarily, that at that point they should go to plan B, which he calls for involving force. So from the abstract, it reads, mandatory vaccination, including for COVID-19, can be ethically justified if the threat to public health is grave, the confidence in safety and effectiveness is high, the expected utility of mandatory vaccination is greater than the alternatives, and the penalties or costs for non-compliance are proportionate. And he says he describes an algorithm for justified mandatory vaccination. Penalties or costs could include withholding of benefits, imposition of fines, provision of community service, or loss of freedoms. Quote, I argue that under the conditions of risk or perceived risk of a novel vaccination, a system of payment of risk in vaccination may be superior. I defend a payment model against various objections, including that it constitutes coercion and undermines solidarity. I argue that payment can be cash or in kind, and opportunity for altruistic vaccinations can be preserved by offering people who have been vaccinated the opportunity to donate any cash payment back to the health service. So obviously this is going to be controversial to some, not only because this author straight up said you should be fined and potentially lose freedoms if you choose not to get vaccinated, but also the idea that, well, let's try to buy people off. Clearly we've been seeing in recent months that the vast majority of people, a good number, I would say over half, it seems, are, if not opposed to vaccines, are skeptical of the COVID vaccine specifically. Now, some people might be taking that approach because they don't like Donald Trump and they don't like the Trump administration, but perhaps if Joe Biden does indeed become president, lots of those people who are opposed to a Trump vaccine would be open to taking a Biden vaccine. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this develops. But this itself, this story is just one of several that I want to show you that are in line with this idea that the public needs to be convinced to take the vaccine. And I think it's showing multiple things here. For one, that the establishment, the politicians and the medical establishment believe that they are going to have difficulty convincing the public to get vaccines. So let's take a look at a few of these studies. So from this first one, Good Reasons to Vaccinate, we can find more interesting information. First, he talks about the ethics of mandatory COVID-19 vaccination and basically argues that coercion and mandatory vaccination can be justified if the risk is strong enough. He says, quote, there is a strong case for making any vaccination mandatory or compulsory if four conditions are met. There is a grave threat to public health. The vaccine is safe and effective. Mandatory vaccination has superior cost-benefit profile compared with other alternatives. And the level of coercion is proportionate. Each of these conditions involves value judgments, and then they take some time going through each of those areas. But we have to pause here for a moment and think about this. This is an individual saying that the medical establishment, backed by the government, should have the authority to decide what level of coercion is necessary to make you take a vaccine if you choose not to. Now, of course, they talk about finding ways to incentivize the public and educate the public, but ultimately the authorities and, you know, these types of studies are making it clear that there is a push and a plan to make the vaccine, if not totally compulsory and mandatory, to at least penalize people who do not participate. Perhaps you won't be able to work, your children won't be able to go to school, you won't be able to travel, or your healthcare rates could go up. That's been suggested. This also suggests fines and, of course, loss of freedoms. Another study from the New England Journal of Medicine called Ensuring Uptake of Vaccines Against SARS-CoV-2 also calls for a similar situation. In this study, they describe six substantive criteria that should be met before a state imposes a SARS-CoV-2 vaccine mandate. So again, this study here is suggesting that politicians and policymakers and the medical establishment take a look at these criteria. And it says these are six trigger criteria for state COVID-19 vaccine mandates. First, it says that COVID is not adequately contained in the state. So if you live in a state where they're saying there is a rise in cases, or, you know, there's just, it's not going away, then that's the first trigger. If the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices has recommended vaccination for the groups for which a mandate is being considered. So if this advisory committee decides that, well, people of color or poor white folks or Native Americans or whatever group that they decide is acceptable for this mandate, well, then that's the second trigger. The third trigger, the supply of vaccine is sufficient to cover the population groups for which a mandate is being considered, if they say that there's enough of the vaccine. That's trigger three. Trigger four, available evidence about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine has been transparently communicated. Five, the state has created infrastructure to provide access to vaccination without financial or logistic barriers. Compensation to workers who have adverse effects from a required vaccine, and real-time surveillance of vaccine side effects. Finally, trigger six is that in a limited time evaluation, voluntary uptake of the vaccine among high priority groups has fallen short of the level required to prevent epidemic spread. And what that means is that if they believe that the target group that they're focused on, again, we have heard people like Bill and Melinda Gates say that people of color and indigenous folks should be the first ones to get this vaccine. If they believe those target groups are becoming overwhelmed with COVID, well, that's the sixth trigger. And thus, that would be one way that they could argue for mandatory vaccines. And this, again, is coming from the New England Journal of Medicine. I'll jump to another one here that was published just over the summer, from the U.S. National Library of Medicine, titled COVID-19 Vaccine Messaging Part 1. And this was sponsored by Yale University. And in this one, it's another example of the researchers trying to understand study participants to see how they could convince them to be more likely to take a vaccine. And they have a number of different tactics for this. They call this the personal freedom message, the economic freedom message, the self-interest message, the community interest message, economic message, guilt message, embarrassment, anger, trust in science, and not bravery. So essentially, each of these are different type of emotions that they are trying to elicit from people. In the case of the guilt message, they discuss making people feel guilty. How would you feel if your grandmother got sick and died because you didn't take a vaccine or because you didn't wear a mask? And in other examples, they talk about how it would be a benefit to your community. You know, they try to come at all these different ways and see if they can use that messaging to convince people that they would want to take a COVID-19 vaccine. Then we have this paper here from Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health from July 2020, The Public's Role in COVID-19 Vaccination, Planning Recommendations Informed by Design Thinking and the Social, Behavioral, and Communication Sciences. And as it says, it's a working group on readying populations for a COVID-19 vaccine. And as we go through this, you can see that they are once again looking at different scenarios. They call recommendations, how to understand and inform the public's expectations about a COVID-19 vaccine. Number two, earning the public's confidence that the vaccine allocation and availability are going to be even-handed. Recommendation three, making the vaccine available in safe, familiar, and convenient places. Recommendation four, communicating in meaningful, relevant, and personal terms, and crowding out misinformation. That's something we're going to talk more about in a moment. And finally, recommendation five, establishing an independent representative body to instill public ownership of the vaccination program. And so these four research papers and studies that I've just shown to you, which, by the way, will be listed below the video in the description, all of these are coming from major publications. These are well-respected institutions, Yale University, New England Journal of Medicine, that are trying to work out how they can convince the public to take a COVID vaccine with the understanding that many people are going to be skeptical. And the study that we started with, Good Reasons to Vaccinate, it talks about the idea of paying people. It talks about fining people, withholding benefits, etc., in order to get a mandatory vaccination taken by the public. And I want us to pause here for a moment to think, first of all, if you're listening to this, if you stumbled across this and you wondered, well, it's ridiculous for people to question vaccines, you know, whatever your personal thoughts on, maybe you think people don't have a legitimate reason to ask these questions. And I want us to think about that for a moment. I'd like to go back to 2014. What you're seeing here is an article by Ben Swan himself on truthinmedia.com from September 2014. CDC whistleblower admits suppressing vaccine information regarding vaccines and autism. And some of you might remember this. This was about Dr. William Thompson, sometimes known as the CDC whistleblower. He was featured in the documentary Vaxxed, as well as reported on by alternative media beginning in 2014, 2015. And we really haven't heard anything since then. Ben Swan reported that as of that summer in 2014, Dr. Thompson had released a statement, and he was a senior scientist at the CDC, and he had been with the CDC since 1998. Basically, he put out a statement after it came out that he was involved with a study where him and his co-authors, according to him, that they fudged the numbers to lower the numbers of African-American children, specifically boys, who were being linked to autism-like conditions after vaccines. And this is from the statement at the time. He says that, "I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. The omitted data suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 were at increased risk for autism. Decisions were made regarding which findings to report after the data were collected, and I believe that the final study protocol was not followed." So this is all the way back in 2014. Ben Swan, one of the first people to report on this at the time, and it did make some mainstream press, and we actually covered the saga. I wrote an article in February 2015 titled, "Has the CDC Whistleblower Been Given Immunity to Speak About Vaccines?" talking about how there was rumors that he was going to be given immunity and actually be allowed to speak out publicly. This, of course, did not happen. But what did happen is that the whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson from the CDC, turned over thousands of pages of documents to Congressman William Posey's office. And Congressman William Posey, some of you may remember, actually spoke on the congressional floor calling for an investigation into the CDC whistleblower's claims. And his office confirmed that they had received thousands of pages of documents. Ben Swan, again, was one of the first people to confirm that. And according to their office at the time, they said, quote, "I can confirm that we've received a very large number of documents, and we are going through those documents now. There are a lot of them, so it will take some time." And after that, Congressman William Posey spoke, and we never heard anything else about it again. Obviously, there has not been an investigation of vaccines being led by the CDC or by the U.S. government. And Dr. Thompson, as far as we know, is still working at the CDC, and that vaccine, the MMR vaccine, is out there. The reason I bring this up, just as one simple example, but an example that needs to be exposed even to a wider audience, is these are some of the reasons why people are skeptical about vaccines. And when it comes to the COVID vaccine, we're talking about Operation Warp Speed, which is being run by big pharma executives who are profiting off this whole thing. It's being rushed at a pace we've never seen before. And there's already been trials where people have had spinal injuries, and at least one individual has died from the placebo in one of the vaccine trials. So there are a number of reasons that people are skeptical for this, and I just wanted us to think about that. While we have the medical establishment and the politicians and these thinkers out there trying to figure out how they can convince you to take a COVID vaccine, they're neglecting to stop and discuss the realistic, objective information and reasons that people question vaccines. The final story I want to go over with you briefly is a new report showing that the British intelligence and U.S. intelligence are preparing for what they are terming a cyber war against anti-vaccine activists. So this is a new development in the front of what has been termed by the New York Times a vaccine information war. This article is coming from the Unlimited Hangout with Whitney Webb. It says US-UK intel agencies declare cyber war on independent media. This section here says UK intelligence's new cyber war targeting anti-vaccine propaganda. And on Monday, the UK newspaper The Times reported that the UK's GCHQ has begun a, quote, offensive cyber operation to disrupt anti-vaccine propaganda being spread by hostile states, and that it is, quote, using a toolkit developed to tackle disinformation and recruit material petted by the Islamic State. Essentially, the GCHQ, the British Intelligence Service, and the American Intelligence Service are now claiming that other state actors, perhaps they will say Russia or Iran or China, are actually behind this information, what they're calling disinformation, vaccine propaganda, anti-vaccine propaganda, and they're claiming that is influencing Americans, and so now they need to launch a cyber war to stop it. And here is the Times article, GCHQ in cyber war on anti-vaccine propaganda. Spies tackle disinformation linked to Russia. And there you have it. They're linking this information to Russia, trying to act as if Americans themselves are not asking these questions. There's no CDC whistleblower. There's no other reasons to question vaccines. It's simply Americans falling prey to Russian disinformation once again. And I think this is something we absolutely need to be skeptical of. Of course, you should make up your own mind and decide what you think, but based on the information that I've presented here today and other information that myself and other researchers have found, there are legitimate reasons to ask questions about vaccines, to ask questions about the vaccine schedule, and to ask questions about the vaccine injury court, and ask questions about the 1986 law that allows vaccine companies to have immunity from lawsuits, and also to ask why are all of the vaccine companies themselves related to COVID. Why are they being given immunity to their future COVID-19 vaccines? There are legitimate reasons to be asking these questions and plenty more. And we should not allow these individuals who are trying to think of how to penalize you or fine you or reverse to pay you to sort of incentivize you to get into a vaccine. We should not allow them to act as if this is a one-sided conversation and if there are no legitimate questions here and it's simply just Russian propaganda. So thank you guys so much for listening to my first report here on ice.media. Again, if you want to find my work, you can visit theconsciousresistance.com and you can subscribe to my newsletter and find me on all of my social media platforms. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching this. Please share it everywhere you can. And until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.